You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Integrated Pharmacist Podcast. I am your host, Adam Ballio. Americans spend over $30 billion on complementary and alternative medicine each year. As healthcare professionals, we need to know the facts. Let's find evidence-based medicine together. This podcast is not designed to be used for medical or legal advice. Thank you. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Integrated Pharmacist Podcast. First, I'd like to apologize for the brief hiatus. Between studying for board exams, moving across the country for residency, I haven't had the resources to produce an episode. But I'm happy to be back at it. My current position as a pharmacy resident in functional medicine has sparked a number of potential topics. On the top of the list today is a controversial supplement called CoQ10 or coenzyme Q10. This is a special kind of molecule that assists in the process of energy creation so that they happen more readily. If enzymes reduce the threshold of certain reactions, the coenzyme is like the key to unlock the enzyme door. We know this specific coenzyme is used heavily by mitochondria. That's the energy-producing factory inside all of our cells. In a process called the electron transport chain, CoQ10 helps our cells produce more energy from the food we eat. With the electron transport chain, we can produce more than 10 times the energy we could otherwise get out of a sugar molecule. When we have a good supply of CoQ10, each cell produces plenty of energy to function properly. Our bodies create CoQ10 on its own. Like all the other coenzymes in our bodies, we have genes that regulate its creation. By the time we turn 35, however, our bodies grow more and more unable to produce it on its own. We can also deplete our supply of CoQ10 with poor nutrition, inadequate sleep, and taking certain medications like statins. Because of this reduction in CoQ10, it makes sense to try and supplement. But here's the controversy. Our bodies don't absorb large molecules very well. We literally have systems in our gut for breaking down large molecules so we can absorb them. What's more is this molecule doesn't dissolve in water. It's hydrophobic. Scientists have struggled to formulate the supplement in ways that will increase absorption of CoQ10 molecule. This is definitely one of those supplements you want to know what you're buying a little deeper than the average product. It's not just about whether or not the product has what it says it has, or if it's contaminated with other things. The formulation has to be engineered for peak absorption. Although this concept is growing among health professionals, we're still in a time where many of them simply won't consider it because they don't think there's much use in taking something the body has a hard time absorbing. Regardless of how most medical professionals feel, there are several studies that look at the effects of CoQ10 among a variety of patient populations. One I'd like to address focuses on patients with diabetes. It drew my attention because its focus is on CoQ10's ability to reduce blood pressure, which is not an effect we typically associate with it. This research was performed with 80 participants in Australia back in 2002. Participants had clinical diabetes and high cholesterol, but they excluded patients who were very old, extremely obese, or who had blood pressure greater than 160 over 90. They also excluded anyone taking antioxidants, ACE inhibitors, or calcium channel blockers. Participants in the experimental side took two capsules of 50 milligrams of CoQ10 twice a day. By the end of the study, serum CoQ10 levels in these participants had increased three times compared to no increase in the placebo arm. They also experienced a reduction in blood pressure by an average of six systolic and two diastolic. There was an interesting effect on blood sugar as well, although fasting serum glucose and insulin levels hadn't been altered significantly. hemoglobin A1C had been lowered by an average of 0.37. Surprisingly, this study did not demonstrate the antioxidant effect as measured by the biomarker F2 isoprostane. Compared to other similar studies, the patient population was generally better controlled in both diabetes and hypertension. CoQ10 performed better in smaller studies where patients had higher blood pressure or less controlled blood sugars. It appears as though there is growing evidence in favor of using CoQ10 supplement. However, we're still not in a position to see it being covered by insurance like some other supplements. I will reiterate that it is important to find a good quality supplement that is formulated for maximal absorption. Of the products I have been exposed to, the kinds that seem to reach this standard charge a little over $1 a pill. Roughly $30 for a month's supply seems reasonable, especially for the desirable effect in certain patient populations. I did have a story that I wanted to share about this supplement. I know someone who asked me about taking the supplement when I was still in school. I remember I had recently learned about its poor absorption in class, and I tried to relay that to this person. But he seemed to really feel a difference taking that supplement, and so I was kind of surprised at his reaction and his response to taking the supplement. At the time, I wasn't sure if that was due to the placebo effect or not, and now that I've read this study, I'm more inclined to believe that there may have been something to how he felt taking this supplement. So I think it's still up in the air. As a practitioner, I feel confident in recommending taking CoQ10 as long as I know that I have a decent product that the patient is going to be able to absorb and that they're in a position where they might actually have a response, medically speaking, to the supplement. Again, I don't know if it's for everybody, particularly patients older than 35 who feel like they just don't have the energy that they used to have. Maybe this might help with that. Again, the study that I covered shows benefit in patients who have diabetes and high blood pressure. And this showed that it can help affect both of those things. We also know that patients who are on statin therapies have seen benefits using CoQ10 to help mitigate the side effects of muscle pain or muscle weakness that can come with being on that kind of medication. Anyway, I want to thank you for joining me today. I'm interested in hearing your story. Do you have an experience with CoQ10? Has anyone recommended it to you? I would love to hear what your experience has been. Please write a review or send me an email at integratedpharmacist@gmail.com. You can also comment on my blog or find me on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks again for joining me today. I look forward to hearing from you. Please join me next week on the Integrated Pharmacist Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the Integrated Pharmacist Podcast. If you like what you heard, please give us a good rating, subscribe, and tell your friends. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you enjoy the leading podcast network dedicated to the business and profession of pharmacy, please write us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know which channel is your favorite. And remember, the pharmacist is the hub of healthcare.